Good morning.
Good morning.
This is KBOO FM 90.7 on your FM dial in Portland, 91.9 in Hood River, 100.7 in Corvallis, KBOO.FM. This is More Talk Radio. My name is Cecil Prescott.
My name is Celeste Carey. And good morning indeed. A few things to keep on your radar. We have coming up in the next few days here the KBOO membership drive. So this is the time for you to be considering how you'll be able to support your community radio station, KBOO. For those of you who are already members and you renew during our summer effort, thank you. Okay, I do have a task for you, though. Your job, gentle listener, is to ask somebody else to become a member. And if you did not become a member during the last drive, your job is to become a member. And maybe you should also be thinking about who you want to ask to be a member with you. And for those of you who can, if you will, please increase your membership. We do realize that these are tough economic times, and KBOO has done a lot of belt tightening efforts and measures. But at the same time, we're trying to be more valuable to you so that in this hard economic session here, you can feel like you are getting your money's worth from KBOO and that we are truly enhancing your living and your social and your community experience.
And we look forward to your hearing that message and responding appropriately. We thank you for joining us. We are airing this program live. Today is Monday, September 26, 2011.
It's not the Ides of September.
Great.
Not this time.
Great.
Now, every now and then, you know, we have a running thing with that. Not this time.
Great.
Well, we have another show here designed to enhance your community and social experience. We like to find ways to help people get involved in terms of making stronger communities, enhancing a sense of community cohesiveness and service, and on a personal level of enhancing, to a large degree, community safety by creating a shared vision of community safety. And you can't have safety without a shared vision, and you can't have safety without some ideas of security and livability that we all participate in terms of quality of service. And quality of service is not just about making a complaint if things are not the way you feel that they ought to be. Quality of service is also taking the time out to design safer delivery measures and efforts, but more importantly, commending those when they do an excellent job so that they're able to feel supported in terms of community and they exert a stronger peer pressure by being a shining example. So to that end today, we have some people here to talk about an opportunity to be involved in a committee that does just that. It helps create a shared vision of safety and service and livability, an opportunity to make statements and make changes and make corrections in the system, and an opportunity to commend those who are doing an exemplary job. We have with us here today Constantine Sevier and Jamie Troy, who are working in the city service for you as part of the Independent Police Review and the committee, Citizens Review Committee. Welcome, welcome.
Thank
gentlemen,
you.
Welcome.
Good morning.
How are you doing?
I'm doing all right.
Okay, only all right? I know it's gray.
See, I'm from Miami originally. So
You have my entire sympathy.
Okay,
you have my entire.
September so far.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Well, get used to it.
Yeah, on behalf of transplanted Oregonians, and since I was down there this summer, yes, I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's all right.
Are you hanging with us then, Jamie?
I had two cups of coffee and had a little run this morning, so
I'm awake. Run in the rain. That's an Oregonian. Yeah. I see the transformation is complete.
There we go.
That's what we do here. Well, we want to thank you for coming. And I guess first, tell us a little bit about yourself and tell us what drew you to being involved in the Independent Police Review, since you two serve different roles, especially from those different roles. I'll start with you, Constantine, since you are a part of the service.
Okay, my name is Constantine Sevier. I'm the Assistant Director of the Independent Police Review Division, and I've always felt a strong pull towards government service and making sure that government works effectively for the community that the whatever government it is working in. I'm originally from Brooklyn, New York, but I grew up in Miami, and my parents come from Haiti, and I'm the first person born in my family in the United States.
Oh.
And growing up in Miami, I kind of grew up in a lower middle class area. I mean, I've said before where I grew up was kind of like the Gresham of Miami, more or less, it's kind of Rockwood area, because when I go in that area, it reminds me a lot of where I grew up. And I felt that the city of Miami and just the area where I grew up in did not respond to citizens. I just didn't feel safe, didn't feel that, like, you know, if you had a hole in your street, that the city would actually come and fix that hole. Or if, you know, if there's a hurricane and people had to chop down trees and remove the trees and all that stuff, you know, that pile of brush and debris would still be there months later. So one of my first decisions was I was going to leave as soon as possible. But coming to Portland, after I graduated from law school, I went to Vanderbilt Law School. I practiced as a criminal defense attorney at Metropolitan Public Defender, and I felt that just working as a criminal defense attorney, speaking for folks who didn't have a voice, when the opportunity came for me to be able to work at IPR with the director, Mayor Beth Baptista, I really just jumped on that because I love the city. The city, it has so many great attributes, and I felt that if I could be a part of making the city even better, I would do that. And just with the leadership that we have at IPR and at the city auditor's office, the auditors, LaVon Griffin-Villade, and in Portland is one of the a few jurisdictions, it's a little more common in the Pacific Northwest, of actually having an independently elected auditor. So the auditor is directly responsible to the citizens of Portland. So I think that's a great blessing that we have in this city. And, you know, if folks want to reach out to the auditor's office, we have a website, and you can go to drill down into there and go to IPR's page. And there's also information about the Citizens Review Committee, the CRC, on that website.
Excellent. And Jamie?
Good morning. My name is Jamie Troy. I'm the chair of the Citizen Review Committee. Constantine is an employee of the Independent Police Review Division, and so he is day in and day out working on these tasks. The Citizen Review Committee is composed of 9 citizen volunteers. We're tasked with working with IPR to effectuate effective citizen oversight of the Portland Police. I am originally from Richmond, Virginia, or a suburb of Richmond. I've been out here since 93. Unfortunately, you have 2 lawyers talking to you here today. Mm-hmm. We'll try to keep it exciting anyway. I'm still practice law currently. I represent mostly folks in juvenile court and in family law cases, although my past is also comprised some criminal defense work, so I did cross paths occasionally with Constantine. Didn't know him very well before I started doing this. I began working on the committee in January of 2009. My period of time on the committee is coming to an end here at the end of December, although I do plan to apply again and see if they'll let me on. And we're here today.
There's going to be considerable discussion.
Yeah, I know. We're here today to try to educate folks on how the system works and recruit people,
yes,
to join our committee, because we have a great group of 9 right now. But unfortunately, some of them are not going to rejoin us. And I really feel passionately that the committee needs to reflect the diversity of our city. We need more members to step up and come on, and we welcome folks from all walks and lifestyles to come inform our committee.
Perhaps we can also share, I think we began our conversation assuming people know what we're speaking about.
That was the next thing we will have them do, yeah.
So Constantine, can you tell us about the origins and the purpose of the Independent Police Review Division, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
And then we'll have Councilor Dean talk about the Citizens Review Commission.
Okay, so the Independent Police Review Division came about in 2001 after, under Mayor Cass, there was a citizens committee that went and looked at different types of civilian oversight of police. Before IPR, the Independent Police Review Division, there was what was called PIAC, which was the Police Internal Investigation Auditing Committee. And there's a long history about PIAC, and folks in Portland felt dissatisfied with PIAC, and I think it was just folks saw that it really wasn't working for the city. So council and the then auditor, Gary Blackmer, made the push to look at, to see about having a new system. And IPR basically is kind of an auditing way of monitoring police activities. So I don't want to get like too into the weeds because unfortunately the way police oversight works just in general, it's a relatively complicated system, but just kind of the nuts and bolts are just kind of the bullet points of how it works is IPR is in charge of receiving citizen complaints. So, or commendations. Oh, so if, you know, you're on one of the kind of Sunday parkways events and an officer did a really good job, you could call our office and talk about, well, I saw Officer Smith yesterday on 42nd and Going, and he did a brilliant job stopping traffic. Or if you felt that you saw an officer engage in some sort of misconduct, it really doesn't matter the level of misconduct. It can be anything from an officer was rude to me during a traffic stop to I saw an officer use an excessive amount of force. So our office takes those investigations and reviews that investigation. So that's kind of the first part. We also monitor police investigations. So when there is a use of force and the police bureau is investigating that, the Internal Affairs Office and just kind of threw up the chain of command, we review the investigation, make sure it's accurate, complete, and non-biased. We also, as of September 2010, through some work that through our new ordinance, IPR is a member of the Police Review Board, which in cases where an officer is looking at looking at discipline of a day or more, IPR is one of the five voting members of that board, which is a very important role. And we weren't before, and that was one of the things that the relatively new auditor, LaVon Griffin-Villade, that was kind of one of her pushes, and along with Mary Beth, my direct boss, the director, accomplished in 2010. And one of the biggest roles of IPR is hiring an outside consultant to review officer-involved shooting and in-custody death investigations. Most recently, we've hired the OIR group out of Southern California to review the Chassis death and investigation. And there was a report that was released last year that's available on our website. And there was some mention of that in the media because that was such an important case. And they talked about a lot of the issues that were in that case. And currently, OIR is reviewing completed officer-involved shooting and in-custody death investigations from, I believe, from 2004 to 2010. And they will have the first part of their report probably done by the end of this year. And another thing that happened as a result of this brand new ordinance, IPR is authorized to respond on scene when there is an officer-involved shooting or in-custody death. We are there to not be directly involved with that particular aspect of the investigation, but to be there to monitor the investigation. So for the most recent officer-involved shootings, IPR staff members have been there. I was the one, you know, it was kind of my day on duty for that, for the most recent officer-involved shooting. So I was there. I was able to be on scene. I was able to receive briefings kind of in a real-time basis, which is very helpful to us because since we're there kind of at the ground floor of the investigation, we're also looking at the investigation at a kind of a later end, and it helps a lot to be able to see how the crime scene was, because every officer-involved shooting and in-custody death is treated as a crime scene. So I think one of the when you drill down and kind of boil it away, what IPR is at its essence, it's like one of those good government type of things. It's trying to have the citizens' government be more open, transparent, and accountable. I think our job is trying to make the process a little bit more transparent and accountable.
You're listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 here in the city. This is More Talk Radio with Cecil Prescott and myself, Celeste Carey. We're speaking with Constantine Sevier, who is the Assistant Director of the Independent Police Review, and Jamie Troy, who is a member, a volunteer giving service to the IPR. We will be opening our phone lines here in just a moment. One of the keys that we hope to offer community is an opportunity to connect to the Independent Police Review directly by becoming a volunteer. And so this is also an opportunity to recruit as well as learn more about how we can create a shared vision of community safety. I want to go back to something you said. First, the call out. How do the police contact you? Are you contacted directly the moment that the police call, or are there only certain types of calls that you get and you're called out after the fact?
We're called out in the case of an officer-involved shooting.
Right,
custody death.
How soon are you called?
We are called, it kind of depends on the circumstance, but we're called relatively soon. And each time, and this is a system that we started in June, usually it's been within 30 minutes of the incident. And it was something, one, it's part of our ordinance. And then secondly, as you know, in any type of city government, there has to be kind of standing operating procedures to kind of make
SOP.
Things work. Exactly. And that was something that was worked out with the Internal Affairs Office.
Okay.
And Captain Dave Famous, who's the head of Internal Affairs, has notified us in each occasion. And they've been, particularly the Internal Affairs Office and the services branch of the police bureaus have been our partners in kind of making sure that we're able to respond on scene in a real-time basis so that our oversight of it is actually something that's going to be useful to the investigation.
And who comes? Is it volunteers or is it yourself as a staff person?
It's either the director or one of the assistant directors. So
okay.
There's Mary Beth, who's the director, and there's myself, and then there's another assistant director, Pete Sanrock, who's a former district attorney in Benton County, which I believe that's the county Corvallis is in. Yes.
All righty. And then I also wanted to address something you were talking about, which was the monitoring standards that the IPR, the Independent Police Review, have. How were those standards set? I know with ordinance, certain key changes were made. Is that how the standards were established and how were they chosen?
It's kind of funny coming in as an attorney and looking what our ordinance was prior to us stepping in. And granted, the ordinance kind of created IPR from the void, from nothing. So you can't be too harsh on it. But like, there's a lot of stuff that had built up over time that was just kind of practices, and it wasn't really in there. And that was one of the issues, because in any type of oversight system, you need to know what kind of the lines are. And
concrete standards.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly. And we really didn't have that. There was stuff that was in the police bureau's directives, which are their administrative rules, and there was stuff that were our protocols, which are our administrative rules. And there weren't things really written out clearly. And since Mary Beth has come on, that's been one of our pushes, is making sure whatever authority that we have should come either from city council or from the auditor's direction. It should not come from people we are overseeing.
Right.
So our kind of monitoring standards, a lot of it's too specific to be in an ordinance, but either comes from our kind of our own internal SOPs or from our protocols.
Okay.
Okay, I'm again going to ask in terms of as an ordinary citizen.
Yes, ma'am, sir.
Who's not operating within the city system.
Mm-hmm.
I understand, so I have a concern or a compliment. I pick up the phone and call.
You would pick up the phone and you'd call us at IPR. Our main line is 503-823-0146. Or you could go to our website and there's a complaint form that you can do, or you can go and email us. Or you could just walk into our office. We're based at City Hall, which is 1221 Southwest 4th Avenue, and come up to the third floor, Suite 320. And we have a staff of investigators that are there to kind of take people who just walk in off of the street. You know, some folks, you know, they don't really want somebody seeing them face to face, and mm-hmm. they want to do it over the phone, or they want to write in, like, you know, handwritten letter, or some people actually want that face to face connection. So, I mean, that's one of the things we're trying to be responsive to how the folks out there in the community want to reach out to us. And we also are trying not to be bound in City Hall. I mean, Portland City Hall is in a very central location, but there are a lot of folks who live out further east. Who do not want to come into City Hall. So we'll go out into the community and meet folks as well at neighborhood places. And there's like a huge list of places that ONI has put at our disposal.
ONI being the Office of Neighborhood Involvement.
Thank you for catching my use of acronyms in city boilerplate.
You're listening to KBOO Portland 90.7. We're hoping that we're coming through clearly here. In case you're experiencing a little technical difficulties with the sound quality, we have our trusty engineer here, Steve, working at it. The phone number, we will open the lines here, is 503-231-8187. And we'd like for you to focus your questions on how the independent police review can work for you or your community, how you can be involved. Their operating policies, protocols, those kinds of questions. There are certain things that the Independent Police Review Division cannot do. And we unfortunately have to let you know so that you don't waste your time and feel like, you know, your question's not being answered. But so bear with us. As we get people to come in and call today, Jamie, one of the things I'd like to ask you as a person who serves on the committee, as a volunteer who's giving your time, how you're able to make people of all cultures, ages, walks of life feel welcome and included and heard when they are offering a complaint or a commendation.
As you answer that, Jamie, could you explain your role and what is the Citizens Review Committee and who's a part of that?
Sure. I think it's not a well-understood part of the city system. And while we're promoting the committee, I think educating the public is one of the purposes of this get-together here. So I'll try to do that quickly. Constantine works for the Independent Police Review. It's a bureau within the city government. They are tasked with overseeing the Portland Police Bureau. They are the initial entity where you go to file a complaint or a commendation against the police bureau if you have a conflict with them or an interaction with them for which you're dissatisfied. There is a process within that system that if you go through the complaint process and there is a decision made at the front end, by whomever the decision makers are at that end, that your complaint against the police bureau is not sustained. It's not valid. You have a right under the city government ordinance to file an appeal and have a public hearing where you put your side of the story before the Citizen Review Committee, which is the 9-member panel that I sit on. That's one of the primary functions of the Citizen Review Committee, to hear appeals of complaints that have been filed against the Bureau. So you would have an opportunity to have someone help you out with that. We have appeals process advisors who are former CRC members who can help you prepare your appeal for a public hearing. And you also have the opportunity to have a volunteer advocate work with you. The volunteer advocates are volunteers through the National Lawyers Guild. And they can help prepare you to present your appeal before the committee. And then at a public hearing, which occurs on a monthly basis, you would come before us. There's a sort of a pre-appeal process that you can bring forward before you go to appeal to make sure all of the investigation has been done properly, to make sure the committee believes it has all the information it needs. And then the appeal goes forward. At the end of the appeal, our committee has the ability to overturn the recommendations made by the decision makers and recommend that, for instance, that the Bureau find that an officer acted outside of policy and should be disciplined. We don't have any authority to impose discipline. And if the Bureau is not willing to abide by our recommendations, then that triggers an appeal before the City Council. It's rare, if ever, that that has happened. I think it's happened on a number of different occasions, but it's rare. Last year in 2010, there was a backlog of appeals, and I think we had, not going to give you accurate statistics on this, but at least 5 or 6 appeals that went forward. Yeah. One of them had something like 13 different allegations. It was well publicized in the Oregonian, and the committee on that appeal did recommend that the Bureau be overturned and that an officer be found to have violated policy using a taser outside of policy for the Bureau. And the Bureau finally agreed to our recommendation and did impose discipline on that officer. The discipline process is sort of separate from our function. We don't have the ability to weigh in on what the discipline is. That happens through the Police Review Board, which Constantine referenced earlier. So there are accommodations made for individuals who bring appeals before the Citizen Review Committee. Obviously, we are ADA compliant. If an interpreter is needed, that would be provided. And we have individuals within the system, and within the system being a former CRC member acting as an advisor who can assist you to prepare your appeal, and outside the system being a volunteer advocate through the National Lawyers Guild to help you prepare yourself so that you can put forth in sort of the best way and drill down to the bottom why you're complaining about what happened between you and the police and why you believe that violates a Bureau policy. The advisor and the advocate can really assist you in sort of making a polished presentation to bring that forward. Outside of the appeals process, we're also tasked with going outside into the community and gathering community concerns. And since I've been on the committee, the way we have accomplished that is by holding forums. And we go out into the community and hold those in different places. We held one at PSU. We held one on North Interstate at the Kaiser Building, and we held one on Northeast 42nd Killingsworth at the Workforce Center. Mm-hmm. We're trying to get around the community to different parts of the community so that we hear from different folks who have different interactions with police based upon where they live and who they are. And there have been some great comments that have come at those forums. It's been educational to me. I think Portland citizens and civilians are really invested in their city government and have strong opinions about the police and ways to improve the system. I find people are knowledgeable about aspects of the police bureau that I'm not even aware of, even though I'm going to a million different trainings and trying to keep up on this stuff. And I've been really impressed with the feedback that we've received. If you're on the Citizen Review Committee, you need to make sure that you're coming at this not with an agenda. I mean, we are not looking for people who are pro-police or anti-police. We are looking for people who are willing to come in, listen to both sides of the story, and try to make an impartial decision based upon the information before us as to whether or not an officer violated Bureau policy. So I really encourage people to apply for this committee if you are interested in this area. I don't want people to think they need to have a large base of understanding about how this system works.
Well, that's a good place to jump in. Mm-hmm. What kind of qualifications should a candidate have, or an applicant, rather?
Well, I've got my cheat sheet here.
All right. God.
So let me just tell you about the responsibilities, and then I'll tell you about the qualifications and expectations. The responsibilities of the committee, I've gone over some of these, are to hold appeals, and those are public meetings, to listen to community concerns regarding police conduct. We need people to participate in trainings and activities to increase cultural and ethnic awareness, engage in other trainings and activities to learn about policing. The police bureau has a lot of policies. And if you're going to decide whether or not the police are violating their own policies, you need to educate yourself on what those policies are. We review police bureau policies and procedures, and we have the ability to make suggestions about how those can be improved and changed. We advise the Independent Police review division on the complaint handling process, and we interact with elected officials. If you're on the committee, you are going to be assigned to one council member. There's nine of us, so most people have two members going to each council member to task them with understanding what concerns we're hearing. The qualifications are, some of this I've already gone over, demonstrate an ability to be impartial and objective, possess sound communication and listening skills, lead and function well in a group, so you need to play well with others, be willing to make a substantial time commitment, including trainings, monthly evening meetings, work group meetings, and independent review of complaint files. You have to agree to maintain confidentiality within the material you're reading. There are high standards of confidentiality imposed upon us. And last, you need to pass a criminal background check.
And there's one more. You have to live in the city of Portland or own a business in the city of Portland. So if you know, basically somebody who has a stake, a direct stake in this community.
And city council appoints the members of the city?
Right. There's an interview process once you apply. And to be clear, the deadline for filing is Wednesday,
September 28th,
2 days from today.
Yep. And you can get the application online. You can walk it in. You can fax it in. You can email it in. And it doesn't take that long to fill out. I will tell you, there is a lot of people they're going to talk to in order to do the background check of you. Yeah. So be prepared to list.
And if somebody wanted folks a little bit more information than like we can disseminate right now, you can just call IPR's main line, 503-823-0146. And there will be somebody on the line there who will be able to hook you up with the information and the application, email it to you, or if you know, prepare one for you to pick up.
And there are nine members on the committee, is that correct?
Yes, nine members on the committee.
And the term is for how long?
Well, the term is technically for 2 years right now. There's a recommendation that it be increased to three, and if council passes further ordinance changes, it should be a three-year term, and that's what we're recruiting for currently.
And about the time commitment each month, average, how much does it vary?
The monthly meetings last approximately, if there's an appeal, they're much longer. They can, mm-hmm. I've been there till 10 at night before.
Starting at
5:30, mm-hmm. maybe 9.
That's a significant, significant amount of time.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Most monthly meetings are going to run about 2 hours, mm-hmm. So 5:30 to 7:30. And then we have subgroups. So we don't do all of our work together. We have subgroups working on specialty issues. So there's a subgroup working on outreach. There's a subgroup working on taser policy, things like that. And depending on how many subgroups you served on, it's usually two, there would be at least an hour of time per month spent in those subgroups, mm-hmm. working on different policy issues or overseeing the police and the independent police review and the work that they do.
So it's safe to say roughly 10 hours a month.
Yeah.
Roughly.
Yes. Yeah.
And one of the reasons I say that much, even though the addition may not seem, is I... as part of my job, attended the Citizens Police Academy. And there were members of the CRC, the Citizens Review Committee, going through that as well. And I understand that's part of your educational process for your volunteers, correct?
Well,
go ahead, Jim.
The Citizen Police Academy has been defunded, or it's not currently running. But when it was running, we did do that.
That's a great interface.
Yeah, that's really unfortunate. We wish the Bureau would start that up, but mm-hmm. you know, we kind of live in times of tight budgets, and for whatever reason, the Bureau felt that they couldn't really continue that particularly. It was just wasn't sustainable for them to do that. The CRC members do have significant amount of training, particularly at the front ends, even without the Citizens Police Academy.
And just off, maybe sounds strange, but is childcare available?
At this point, not really. Not really. I mean, we're just really not set up for that.
Okay.
And one of the things that Jamie mentioned about the work groups, the subcommittee of the CRC, as much as important as the CRC is as a kind of collective whole, those work groups have... put together policy papers that have been very influential. There's the TOE policy work group that produced some work a few years ago that actually changed the way the police bureau does its towing policies. The there's the Taser Less Lethal work group that right now is working on that issue, which is a very controversial issue. And the members of the CRC are putting in a lot of time on that issue. After IPR's ordinance was passed, City Council put together a stakeholders committee. And the stakeholders committee released their recommendations. And the mayor asked the CRC for its priorities. So the CRC is a really important part of our city government. And as somebody who's an IPR staff member, I really respect the amount of time that folks who have jobs, and Jamie as an attorney with his own practice works a lot just on his, you know, job that pays his bills. And for him to dedicate as much time as he does, that's something that I respect a lot. And it's something that's recognized by others in city government.
You're listening to KBOO Portland 90.7. This is More Talk Radio. The phone line is 231-8187. And we have a caller who has been very patient. Thank you so much for holding. Oh, we just lost our caller. We took too long. We are sorry. But I have a burning question here, and this is something to consider. Understanding that you do want to do a broad outreach and get people from all different walks of life, get people who are from the Immigrant and Refugee Committee, people who speak different languages, people who are differently able. I hear a glaring challenge to broad inclusion, and that being what are, to me, barriers in terms of class. For some people, transportation, that long amount of time to dedicate, and the lack of child care, it creates a very significant class barrier to people being able to participate. Is that something that's been at least considered? I know in these budget constraint times, there are some limits, but I know, for example, I work in the Office of Neighborhood Involvement, and one of the things that we made a point of doing is making sure that there were money set aside for neighborhood associations to have child care, to make sure that we could get working class families involved in the neighborhood association meetings and functions. Now, is that something that's been brought forward? Have you got it somewhere on the to-do list? Because it would really broaden the opportunities of working class people to participate.
I mean, to tell you the truth, that's something that we haven't really discussed a lot. And you bring up a really good point, because I just kind of think about the people that we're wanting on the CRC. And the CRC, you know, they do a great job, but they put in a lot of hours. And when you look at the CRC members, we need more younger folks, we need more women, we need more folks of color, and there is that kind of systemic kind of barriers that just, in, you know, it's not we're trying to do on purpose, like exclude right. people, but there are those barriers there, and we really do need to work on kind of removing some of those barriers so that folks who haven't been part of showing up to these kind of meetings on a regular basis historically can show up. And that's something that I'm going to kind of reach out to you afterwards and try to get some of that information.
Okay. Now, one of the things I know we have to do is have the directors and possibly assistant directors lobby council, because council, I'm sure, would love to have more participation. And council is who can make this happen by earmarking some funds to make sure you have some child care available for working class people. One of the other things we do is we have the Office of Neighborhood Bureau Advisory Committee, and we do validate parking, and we do provide transportation tickets, bus tickets. So, you know, there's little things like that that make it possible for you to get the kind of diversity that you're looking for without having it accidentally heavily weighted toward professional class people or people who have a little bit more means to participate. That's not to say they cannot do a good job, because the fact that we have the changes with the tow ordinance, for example, and the less lethal use of force shows that we've got some people who have their heads and hearts firmly rooted in the community. But we want to make sure we do remove barriers so we get as broad a participation as possible.
And again, our numbers here are 503-231-8187. We're speaking with a couple of gentlemen talking about the Independent Police Review and the Citizen Review Committee. And we'll go to Barbara. Good morning, Barbara.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, Barbara.
I'm listening to your show and really appreciate it. And just had two issues, one being I'm a single parent, and now my kids are adults, but the lack of child care for your volunteers really concerns me, because there are a lot of people who need child care to be able to participate in community things and to have their voice heard. And then the other thing is, I'm wanting to know if there's a similar citizens monitoring community of police in Washington County, where I reported being sexually assaulted and nothing was done about it by the police.
Thank you for your call, Barbara. I know that there are certain jurisdictional limits to the IPR here in Portland. Now, I'm assuming that it only operates in Multnomah County, since that's where Portland is. Is that true?
It's actually more specific. It's just City of Portland Police Bureau members, sworn members. And so, like, if it's Multnomah County Sheriffs, they have their own process. Even Port of Portland, even jurisdictions that, you know, that act in within the City of Portland at times, it's basically Portland Police Bureau members only. And you would need to look at whatever jurisdiction it was in Washington County and kind of talk to those folks.
Okay, where would I find a similar organization to yours? Where would I start looking?
I can tell you that our organization within the state of Oregon, Eugene is basically the only other city in Oregon that has kind of an independent police review authority. Usually for other jurisdictions, and it's just basically the way it works in nationally, is that it's each police department has their internal affairs office, and they conduct investigations based on citizen complaints.
Okay, thanks. I appreciate it.
And one other thing, too, Barbara. I did try doing a search online, and I didn't find anything. But when you go to Washington County's website, if you can, or if you call their phone number, just as Constantine said, tell them that you would like to get a hold of their oversight agency. Whatever oversight agency, or as he said, internal affairs agency they have. That's the kind of language that they would understand.
Okay, thanks so much.
All right, you're welcome. Thank you for your call.
Thanks, Barbara.
Thanks, bye.
Thank you for your call. And we'll go to our next caller. Rick. Rich, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Yeah.
Good morning.
Hi. You know, I live in Southeast Portland. I've been here 13 years. In the Portland area. I have two kids. My wife and I have raised them basically here. And it seems like when you call the cops and ask for help, they just give you attitude and excuses why they can't do anything about it. My daughter was attempted to be picked up by a stranger in a big truck that was so rare at that it was hard to mistake. It was a big, old 1960s state bed truck. I had to go find out where it was, which is only, you know, down the street from us. Told them there was no plates on it, and yet they still gave me an attitude about it. This is a guy who's attempting to lure 12, 13-year-old girls to his truck, and yet they came up with every excuse to not do it. Not take care of it. I was at a Walgreens on 39th and Belmont maybe 2 months ago, waiting for my wife to get a prescription from the emergency room. Two cops were there, standing there talking for a good 45 minutes outside in the parking lot. They came over to me. They got in their cars when they left. They circled around, they came over, and then they started harassing me and said I was saying rude things about them, and my body language was threatening because I leaned against the back of my van. It was one of these cops was totally on a power trip. The other cop was a little bit lighter, but he backed him up. And they ended it with, you know, you don't think we're doing our job. Well, how about we pull you over as soon as you pull out of here? And I'm like, isn't that retaliation? And no, you know, that's our job. Well, if you have a problem with my, you want to see my license, registration, I'm already parked. Could easily provide it. But it was more a threat to let me know, as a citizen, they could do whatever they wanted. I tried for years to get the police to do more patrols in front of school zones. I see them out patrolling store parking lots and doing radar on on-ramps to the freeway and things like this. And I'm saying, where are the priorities? They're more worried about pot smokers than people speeding down the street, risking our kids' lives every day, where they could make tons of money in tickets.
Well, Rich, I'm gonna have to have you kind of cut to the chase here. What is it you would like for us to do at today? Is this something that you want to know? How do you file a complaint? Or are you interested in being part of the Citizens Review Committee?
I'd like to do the complaint process, but, you know, it seems like they're quick on retaliation in the city. You know, I'm concerned about doing the complaint because of that. 99% of my interactions with Portland police, most of the time is when I'm calling them for help, is an attitude. You know, why should they do this? Oh, you know, they can spend an hour arguing why they shouldn't do something as opposed to actually performing their job, taking the complaint.
Oh, okay. Well, I think we've got the gist of it. So if you don't mind, we'll give you a response offline here because we've got another caller and we're running out of time. So this is, I think, a real concern of people. How do I make a complaint and know that I'm safe in making my complaint, that there won't be any retaliation? We've heard a little bit about how you ensure that complaints are taken seriously and that there is an appeal process. But I think where the rubber meets the road for the ordinary citizen, how do they know they will be safe and there will be no retaliation for making a complaint?
Okay, one of the reasons why council decided to create IPR and remove kind of the preliminary investigation of complaints from, you know, kind of police bureau was kind of to deal with that perception. So you can come to our office or, you know, call us or email us and all the different ways I've mentioned previously and file a complaint about those type of issues. If you feel that, you know, you're trying to get service from a police officer and he's giving you attitude, you know, that is that, you know, kind of like how you started off the show about having, you know, there's really no safety unless people feel committed and invested in police services. I mean, those are kind of the issues that we kind of try to get to, you know, from the start. So, you know, you could file a complaint with us and the complaint is confidential. We do not share it with other entities unless it's going to go to the internal affairs for investigation or service improvement opportunity. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Well, and now something I do want to say, since I do work in crime prevention and work with the police, is it's really important that if it actually does go to internal affairs, that even though your name is kept confidential, that your name is known, because should there be any retaliation, a direct connection can be shown because your name would be in the complaint then. It's held anonymously.
Yes.
It's held confidentially, rather, but there's been times when there have been some issues with the officer and they can go back and they can see, okay, well, there is a direct connection here, so we can tell that there's been a problem. So we do the best that I think any system can do in trying to protect the citizens who want to be directly invested in their service. Is that something that you feel as an ordinary citizen, Jamie, is accomplished?
Well, I think one of the things that Constantine failed to say, which bears saying right now, is that even if there isn't an appeal filed regarding a complaint, IPR is the front end getting these complaints. And if they see a pattern, Officer Smith in Southeast Portland has had 8 complaints filed against him of people saying he's been rude or disrespectful or whatever in the past 5 months. That does draw their attention. I'm not within the system. I'm outside the system. I'm just hearing appeals. But from what I've learned, I understand that if there are chronic complaints against an individual officer, even if they don't rise to the level of bureau policy issues, it does go up the food chain and the bureau is advised that, hey, you've got an officer here who appears to not be interacting well with the public.
Yeah, and that's part of our monitoring function.
Great. We have 2 calls and not a lot of time, so we'll try to squeeze them in really quick. And Michael, really quickly, please.
Okay, 2 questions. First of all, where do your funding go? Who funds you? Because
just ask where's your funding and your next question, Michael.
Okay, my next question is from listening to you guys, you seem to be more of a branch of City Hall as opposed to an independent review. That's all I got.
Okay, 2 good questions. Thank you.
Those both are really great questions. First, we're part of the auditor's office, so we get our funding from the city auditor as a branch of the city auditor's office, and council approves funding for the city as a whole. And, you know, that's a great question. The second one about being a part of the city while trying to monitor another branch of city government, and that is kind of one of those conflicts. I wish we had more time to really discuss this because I just went to a conference where a good chunk of the discussion was about that particular issue. But that is an issue, and that's why we have outside folks like the Citizens Review Committee, who their only stake is making sure the community is better, be our advisory body.
And Michael, no one funds the Citizens Review Committee. It's an all-volunteer group, and I pay for my own parking.
Okay, and then in sum.
So in the next 45 seconds,
yes.
How might people become a part of the Citizen Review Committee? The deadline is tomorrow?
The deadline's Thursday.
Wednesday.
Deadline September 28th by 5 p.m. Please call IPR or go online to get the form that you need to fill out. And please apply. All are welcome. I've gone over the credentials before, and I've gone over what you're going to have to go through. I look forward to meeting people interested in joining the committee.
Excellent. Well, we thank you, Jamie, for your effort, and thank you, Constantine, for joining us this morning. And we hope that as citizens become more informed and more involved, that we can create a city that is prosperous and safe for citizens. So thank you for your good work.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
And then finally, if you could give that phone number again for people who have questions.
So IPR's main line is 503-823-0146.
And then I'll repeat that slowly for folks who are looking for the pencil. It's 503-823-0146. Thank you so much, Jamie Troy and Constantine Sevier. Volunteer, and Constantine is one of the assistant directors at the Independent Police Review, Citizens Review. All of a sudden, my brain failed me. Committee. There we go.
Right.
We invite you. We encourage you to join. We'll have a few applications here at Portland. And as always, be a part of the shared vision of the beauty that is your community and your community connection, KBOO.
Stay tuned for more exciting programming here on KBOO.
The KBOO Fall Sweepstakes has many exciting prizes you could win. The grand prize is a $500 gift certificate